All right, ready to dive into something pretty wild. Mapping canopy nitrogen, get this, from space.
From space, yeah. Sounds futuristic, but it's happening right now.
You sent in this paper from the ISPRS Journal of Photogrammetry and Remote Sensing.
Oh, great journal.
And honestly, I'm hooked. Scientists are using data from the Sentinel-2 satellites, you know those?
Yeah, Sentinel-2, powerful stuff.
To basically figure out how much nitrogen is in a plant's leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And you even mentioned, hold on, you're thinking about trying this yourself.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, the paper lays it all out. Simulations, machine learning, Google Earth Engine. I'm geeking out a little, not going to lie.
Okay, I got to ask the basic question first.
Yeah.
Why is canopy nitrogen such a big deal? I mean, besides sounding cool.
It's all about plant health. Nitrogen. It's like the main ingredient for a plant to grow. It's crucial for making chlorophyll.
Chlorophyll, yeah, the stuff that makes plants green, right?
Yeah, right. And photosynthesis, the whole energy from sunlight thing. But it goes beyond that. Nitrogen's key for tons of other processes too. So when scientists can measure how much nitrogen is in a plant's leaves, it tells them a lot about how well those plants are doing.
Makes sense. So this paper mentions that traditional methods for measuring this weren't exactly perfect. What were the issues there?
So for a long time, scientists relied on the relationship between chlorophyll and nitrogen. Seemed logical, more chlorophyll, more nitrogen.
Yeah, I buy that.
But there's a catch. Turns out chlorophyll is just one piece of the nitrogen puzzle.
Okay.
It's only a small part of the total nitrogen a plant has. And the relationship between them, it's not always so simple. It changes as the plant grows.
Ah, so it's like you can't judge a plant by its color alone.
Exactly. Like imagine a plant sending nitrogen from its leaves to its fruits as they ripen.
Interesting.
The chlorophyll levels in those leaves might not change much, but the total nitrogen, it goes down. Traditional methods, they might miss that crucial shift.
Gotcha. So that's where these new methods come in, using this thing called the ProSail Pro model.
Yep, that's where things get really interesting. ProSail Pro, it's like a virtual plant lab, a computer simulation. They can mimic how light interacts with plants. Researchers can tinker with all sorts of things, leaf structure, chlorophyll content, you name it, even the angle of the sun.
Wow, so they're basically building a digital forest inside a computer.
Spot on. They generate tons of these simulated reflectances, and that gives them a ton of data to work with, and that's where the machine learning magic comes in.
Machine learning. Is this where AI takes over botany?
Huh. Not quite, but pretty close. Think of it as teaching a computer to recognize patterns in this digital forest. They use something called Gaussian process regression, or GPR. This algorithm, it predicts canopy nitrogen based on those patterns.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get it. They create a virtual forest, then they train this algorithm to spot nitrogen patterns, and then they apply that knowledge to real satellite images.
You got it. But wait, there's more. They actually tried two different ways to calculate the canopy nitrogen from the simulated data. One way directly links nitrogen to protein content, because remember, proteins are where a lot of nitrogen is stored in plants.
Right.
They call this one C-Prot-LAI. The other approach, Cab-LAI, well, it sticks with that chlorophyll-nitrogen relationship, but they added in leaf area index just to make things more accurate.
So two different approaches, two different ways to solve the puzzle. Clever.
Right. And to fine-tune their algorithm even further, they use something called active learning. It's kind of like giving a student the best study guide ever. They're helping the algorithm focus on the most informative examples.
Ah, so they're making sure the algorithm learns efficiently. Okay, but then where does Google Earth Engine come in? I know that one.
That's the final piece. It's a platform for processing tons and tons of satellite data.
Right, I've seen their maps.
It's what lets the researchers apply their trained algorithm to actual images from Sentinel-2.
Mm-hmm.
They tested it out on the Iberian Peninsula, and the results? Really impressive.
So Google Earth Engine is like their high-powered map-making tool, crunching through satellite data to spit out these canopy nitrogen maps.
You got it. And get this, they could even pinpoint individual fields with high nitrogen. Think of the possibilities for farming.
Wow, this is sci-fi stuff, but it's real.
Yeah.
And here's another mind-blower. This new method, using data from Sentinel-2, it's almost as good as using hyperspectral data.
Right, which is crazy. Hyperspectral data, it's like having a super detailed color palette of Earth. But it's not easy to get, and it can be expensive.
So this Sentinel-2 approach, it's like a budget-friendly alternative that's almost as powerful.
Yeah, it's a game changer for researchers who need this nitrogen info but don't have access to the fancy hyperspectral stuff.
This is all so fascinating. I'm already seeing how this could revolutionize how we grow food and manage entire ecosystems.
Right, it has huge implications.
But I'm guessing there's still some limitations.
Yeah.
Right, and ways to make it even better.
Of course, there's always room for improvement. But let's take a quick break, and then we can dive into those challenges. Yeah, always room to grow, right? The researchers mention having more data to validate their models, that would really boost their accuracy, especially data from all sorts of different places and different crops.
Ah, so like they need to take this show on the road, see how it works in the real world.
Exactly, more field testing. And the exciting thing is, new satellites are launching all the time. Better sensors, more data. The potential for this kind of mapping is just going to explode.
So we're at the beginning of something huge, basically.
Yeah.
Plant monitoring from space, it's mind-blowing. What kind of applications are we talking about down the line?
Oh, tons. Precision agriculture, that's a big one. Imagine farmers having a nitrogen map of their fields right there on their phone.
Right.
They'd know exactly which areas need more fertilizer, which need less. No more guessing, less waste, lower costs, and better for the environment. It's a win-win-win.
It's like personalized nutrition plans for plants. No more over-fertilizing everything just in case. Okay, but what about beyond farming?
Well, think about forests, right, or other ecosystems. Being able to track nitrogen levels from space, we could spot problems early on. Stress from pollution, drought, climate change, it would all show up.
Whoa, so it's like a global checkup for our planet. Mm. We'd have a better understanding of these huge, complex systems. You mentioned this thing called the global nitrogen cycle earlier. How does this all tie into that?
Right, so nitrogen is constantly moving, right? Atmosphere to soil, plants, water. It's a cycle. By mapping canopy nitrogen from space, we can trace those pathways. We start to see the big picture, how human activities are affecting this delicate balance.
Well, it's not just about individual plants. It's about the entire web of life.
Exactly. And that global perspective, essential if we want to tackle big issues like climate change and food security, it's all interconnected. You know, we've talked about the why and the what now, but I'm wondering if we can break down the how a little more. This Gaussian process regression, the paper mentions it a lot. Can we explain that to our listener who might not be, you know, a math whiz?
Yeah, it sounds pretty intimidating.
It's simpler than it sounds. Basically, imagine you have two sets of data, right? One is actual canopy nitrogen measurements from plants on the ground. The other is satellite images of those same plants.
Okay, I'm following.
GPR, what it does is it figures out the relationship between those two data sets. It's like finding the secret code that links nitrogen levels to what the satellite is seeing.
Uh-huh. So the computer's learning to read the signs, basically.
Exactly. And once it's learned that code, it can predict the nitrogen content of other plants just by looking at their satellite images. It's like a superpower, right? But here's the best part. This method isn't just for scientists in labs. They've made it accessible to anyone.
Wait, really? Anyone can use this?
Yep. They publish their models on Google Earth Engine, so anyone with internet access can try it out. You don't even need to be a coding expert. There are tools and tutorials, and you can start analyzing satellite data yourself, making your own canopy nitrogen maps.
Hold on, you're saying I could, like, download a satellite image of my backyard and see how much nitrogen is in my trees?
Absolutely. And you can compare different areas, see how nitrogen levels change over time, see how they're affected by things like drought. It's a way to engage with science firsthand.
Wow, this has gone from microscopic plant cells to, like, the vastness of space. This is amazing.
It is pretty incredible. And the researchers didn't just stop at developing the methods, they made them accessible, which is huge.
Democratizing science. I love that.
Right. And that's so important if we want to tackle global issues, make sure we have enough food, protect the environment. The more people who understand this, the better decisions we can make.
Okay, so before we wrap up, can we circle back to something? Traditional methods, the ones that relied on the relationship between chlorophyll and nitrogen. How did those actually work in practice? I'm still curious about that.
Sure. It was definitely more hands-on than using satellites, but it was clever too. They'd use something called a spectral index. It's a way to analyze the different colors of light that a plant reflects.
Okay, so they're basically using a prism to break apart the light and see its hidden secrets. I'm picturing a rainbow coming off a leaf.
Ha! Huh. Well, not quite a rainbow, but you're on the right track. Plants absorb and reflect different wavelengths of light depending on their chemical makeup. Chlorophyll, it absorbs a lot of red and blue light, which is why plants look green to us. That green light's being reflected back.
Ah, that's why leaves change color in the fall. The chlorophyll breaks down, and we see those other pigments that were hidden before. But how does this help measure nitrogen?
Right. So by analyzing these patterns of reflected light, what we call the spectral signature, scientists can estimate how much chlorophyll is there. And because there's a general relationship between chlorophyll and nitrogen, they could then guess the plant's nitrogen status.
So it's like a detective game, using light to decode the mysteries of plant nitrogen.
Exactly. But remember, we talked about those limitations. The relationship between chlorophyll and nitrogen, it's not always so straightforward. Lots of things can affect it. The plant species, its age, the weather. That's why these new methods with simulations and machine learning are so powerful. They give us a much more accurate and reliable picture of what's happening inside the plant.
It's amazing that we can monitor something as essential as nitrogen from hundreds of miles away in space. And what's even more impressive is that the researchers didn't just keep this knowledge to themselves. They published their work and made it accessible to everyone.
That's the beauty of open science. By sharing their models on platforms like Google Earth Engine, they've empowered people all over the world to explore this technology and contribute to our understanding of plant health.
So it's not just scientists in labs making these discoveries. It's farmers, policymakers, even curious listeners like you. And speaking of curious listeners, what stands out to you most about this research? Is it the power of simulation, the cleverness of machine learning, or maybe the potential to change how we manage our planet's resources? Whatever it is, we hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity to learn more. Because who knows what incredible discoveries await as we continue to explore the world around us, from the ground up and from space down. Thanks for joining us on this journey.
Yeah, it really was more hands-on. But clever, for sure. They use something called a spectral index.
A spectral index.
Yeah, it's a way to analyze all the different colors of light a plant reflects.
Okay, so like using a prism to break apart the light and see all its secrets.
Huh, kind of, yeah. Plants absorb and reflect different wavelengths of light. It depends on their chemical makeup. Ah, okay.
So chlorophyll, it absorbs tons of red and blue light, which is why plants look green to us. That's the green light being reflected back.
Oh, that's why leaves change color in the fall. Mm-hmm. Chlorophyll breaks down, and then we see those other pigments, the ones that were hidden before.
Exactly.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. But how does all that help scientists measure nitrogen?
Well, by looking at those patterns of reflected light, scientists call it a plant's spectral signature.
Spectral signature, fancy.
They can estimate how much chlorophyll is there. And since there's a general relationship between chlorophyll and nitrogen, they could then, well, infer something about the plant's nitrogen levels.
So it's like being a plant detective using light to, like, decipher the nitrogen story.
Huh, exactly. But like we said before, this method had its limitations. The relationship between chlorophyll and nitrogen. It's not always a clean, simple thing. It can be affected by, like, the plant species, its age, even the weather. That's why these new methods that use simulations and machine learning, they're so groundbreaking. They're way more accurate and reliable. We get a much better picture of what's happening inside the leaves.
It's mind-blowing that we can measure something as important as nitrogen from space, hundreds of miles away. I'll admit, at the start of this deep dive, I was picturing, like, scientists in a lab painstakingly measuring each leaf.
Huh, it's come a long way, that's for sure. And the best part is, these researchers didn't just develop these amazing methods, they actually shared them. They made them accessible to everyone.
Yeah, the whole open science thing, I love that.
By publishing their models on Google Earth Engine, they've basically empowered anyone with an internet connection to use this technology. Now anyone can explore and contribute to our understanding of plant health.
So it's not just scientists in labs making discoveries, it's farmers, policymakers, even curious listeners like you.
Exactly. It's amazing.
And speaking of you, our listeners, what stood out to you most about this research? Was it the power of simulations, the cleverness of machine learning, or maybe the potential to change how we manage resources on our planet? Whatever it is, we hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity. There are so many incredible discoveries still out there waiting to be found as we continue to explore the world around us from the ground up and from space down. Thanks for joining us on this journey.